Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello. Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Oh, Mark. My seatbelt is fastened because I am so excited for our guest this week. Please let everyone know who's joining us.
They're a writer, comedian, and filmmaker. It's our good friend, Michael Lucid.
Yay. Hello. Hello.
Hello, Michael. Hello, so nice Michael. To have you in our virtual salon.
Oh, maybe? I feel very, it's very Parisian. I feel very.
We get that a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you
white
for having
white wireframe little tables and like ferns, you know.
Right. Tiny, adorable little ashtrays.
Very You're going to leave hungry.
Good. Perfect. Yes. Perfect. Yeah. I'm expecting, is it Gertrude Stein? I think she's going to come in.
Sure.
She gets here when she gets here. But
okay,
yes,
sure.
She'll be
she
here.
Takes her time. Yeah.
She makes an entrance.
Always.
She always lets you know when she's here, knocking over a table
You're
or something.
You're always aware when Gertrude enters the room.
Here comes really, Gertrude.
Yeah, she's a presence.
Michael, you chose a movie today that is, I would say, related to the Great White Way, would we say?
The
and
theater.
We just... We're recording this just a few days after the Tony Awards, the 75th, I believe.
That is correct. The 75th annual Antoinette Perry Awards. You are correct. Yes.
It was really the 75th year.
Yes.
I just pulled that out of my butt.
Wow.
Well, you have a very knowledgeable butt, Mark.
Indeed.
You're not the first to.
Oh, it's been said.
Very wise buttocks. Yes.
It's been said. Well, John, you watched the Tonys.
I did watch the Tonys.
Let's just give us what are the headlines?
So now, the Tony Awards. So neither of you watched them at all.
No.
Okay.
Embarrassingly,
Mark, you seem to actively avoid them, but Michael, it seems like you just missed them. You forgot.
I did. I was. My gay alibi is I was away at a wedding. I was out of town at a wedding.
Wow, the perfect gay alibi. I was celebrating heteronormativity. So
was it a gay wedding?
I missed the Tony Awards.
And it was a heterosexual. Yeah, it was very heteronormative.
No.
And somehow in the 48 hours since I've been back, I also did not manage to watch it on YouTube. So my alibi is flimsy, but we'll go with it.
They were fine. It's been very interesting. I think most listeners know this. I come from New York. I'm an East Coast boy. So growing up and when I lived in New York, the Tonys were a thing. Once you leave New York City or the Tri-State area, you realize like, oh yeah, I get why people don't watch this, because I saw the only show that was nominated for anything that I saw was Company. I happened to see that over Christmas. So like when you really don't know any of the shows or any skin in the game, it's hard to get that excited about the Tony.
It's hard to get excited about a regional theater award.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, just a small town. Yeah.
Right, right. A little podunk, one horse town like New York City.
I guess sometimes you would be what you might be aware now, I guess, because just seeing like sometimes when they show up on like Good Morning America and like do a number
or like a late night show. On a parade, perhaps.
But I feel like we're just not aware of Broadway like we used to be like in the 50s or, you know, 60s when people were like more tuned to the radio and like we were just even more desperate.
A Broadway star could be on the cover of Life magazine.
Can you imagine?
Could you imagine? They were fine, I thought, overall. I mean, like, some of the performances were fun. It was a lot. I watched it with my husband, who knew nothing, and he was like, it just seems like the most famous people are winning, which is kind of what happened.
Does it bother you that he didn't know anything?
No, also just saw Company like I did.
I see. Were you rooting for Company?
I like Company a lot. I mean, I haven't seen any of the nominees, so I can't say that I thought that it was robbed or should have someone else should have won. I mean, Company's a musical I've seen several times, and I thought this production famously has the gender swap. Bobby, the main character, is different. Some of the other characters are gender swapped. I thought it was interesting and clever. I didn't think it like 100% worked, but I also feel like Company's one of those shows where like nothing 100% works about Company ever. So it's fine. So it's sort of just more like, it's more like an interesting experiment that people just keep doing over and over again, the musical Company, rather than like a great satisfying musical, even though I do think it is a great musical. Does that make
sense? Have they ever done like a, like what if they did it like with the Cats from Cats, like Cats Company? Cats and Co.
Oh.
Cats and Co. Well, yeah. Mark, there's your $1 million idea.
I mean, everything's getting mashed up now. Like the Avenger, why not? You know what I mean? And like Space Jam. Mm-hmm. Space Jam is what I'm saying.
Sure. Oh. I think that's a great idea.
Has ever been, I guess it's just like a review.
Cats? Yes.
No, I just mean like if you like took like bits from all shows and like put them all together in one show.
Sure. Something like, or like a Forbidden Broadway, maybe even. Do you know that show?
No.
Oh, yes. Oh, I've heard of it. Yeah.
Forbidden Broadway is an off-Broadway musical where Gerard Alessandrini would rewrite the lyrics to musicals and sort of send up all the shows on Broadway.
The audacity.
The very audacity. But it was it's incredibly funny.
That's
ran for years. That was a great show. So
was it just always like being updated and stuff?
Yes, constantly being updated
latest shows.
And changed. And like, oh, this person's now in the cat, you know, this famous
person. Was it the same writer for...
Yeah,
amazing.
The one guy wrote the whole thing.
How long did that run for?
It sort of like has been on and off, but like it started in the 80s, like at some like cabaret space, like the Triad or something like that, and then became a hit and ran off Broadway for like over 10 years and would like come back and sometimes like leave for a few months or a few years, but then
they ever do a Christmas show?
I'm sure they did. He did like a Forbidden Hollywood. He did a bunch of like random things.
Wow. Sort
of like took the brand and kept going with it.
So what was the big winner of the Tonys?
Company won the most. I think they won 5. There was no like big, big winner. Joaquina Kulakunga, she won Best Actress in a Musical. She was incredible. The thing about the Tonys is like, you're really just watching it to see all the performances. Mm. And I thought like she was great. Music Man did a number with Hugh Jackman and Sutton Foster, which is funny because I know Music Man. I've done it a couple times.
You know Music Man.
I know Music Man.
I was in Music Man.
Who were you in Music Man?
I was part of the chorus, but I was the look. What do you talk?
What do you talk?
Him.
Nice. That's classic. You set the stage. You really
set the stage.
You
I was
did.
A, I was
that's,
like
that's
a,
classic Mark Rennie. I'll do the first two lines and other people
I'm
take
out of
over
here.
And then I'm done. I just want to do
And then
things,
I think I was the like American Gothic. I was like the farmer
and
then I was just like a I don't know random person.
Yeah, the number from Music Man didn't make any sense. Like watching it, I was like, this isn't from the show. It's just Hugh Jackman, Sutton Foster, and everyone in band uniforms tap dancing for 5 minutes. And I actually turned to my husband at one point. It was like, I'm just curious. Like, what do you think is happening right now? And he goes, I literally have no idea. And I'm like, I think this is the curtain call that they're doing right now. And then the next day, Hugh Jackman announced that he had COVID and
oh no,
the show for a week. Yeah.
Oh no.
Oh no.
But I gave all the hope it was worth it, this nonsensical tap number.
I mean, that show is doing just fine. It's okay.
I'm worried. Hugh Jackman.
If he can't sell tickets, what hope do the rest of us have?
Right.
It's just delaying Greatest Showman 2 at this point.
Which you're waiting for, bated breath.
We're waiting for. The only thing I remember from The Greatest Showman is the little girl wants to marry Santa Claus. Which I think is like his daughter makes a wish. Yeah, his daughter makes a wish in the beginning. And she says, I want to marry Santa Claus. I screen capped it with the subtitles on. It's very strange.
Wow.
I don't remember that. When I saw Greatest Showman, I saw it I was very tired, and I fell asleep anytime they weren't singing. But somehow my body knew when a number was about to start, and I woke up. So I don't know any of
in
the
fear,
scenes.
Like clenching tension. Oof.
So the number's about to start. You know, this is my internal body clock knows a 5, 6, 7, 8 when it's coming.
Sure.
Just instinctively. Yeah.
Michael, are you a Broadway fan? Do you like love a play, a musical? Like, have you gone to New York and caught a show?
I do. You know, I'm a big fan of the musical medium. And I feel like I'm really misrepresenting myself because I haven't seen The Greatest Showman. I didn't watch the Tonys.
And you're a fan of musicals?
I claim to be a fan of musicals. It makes
You're not missing anything. You're not missing anything with The Greatest Showman. It's awful. Okay, worst songs you ever heard.
Wow.
Some of them are catchy, but the whole thing is not great.
Wow. Okay.
Catchy like E. coli.
Yeah, exactly. What we want to, E. coli, COVID, take our pick.
It's got it all.
Yeah, all of it in one musical, in one show. Hugh's got the COVID. He brought the COVID. So,
he brings it all. He can do it all. To the table. COVID, E. coli, tap dancing.
Really? Yeah.
What was the last show? Do you have a favorite show?
Yeah. You know, well, I do love Company. I actually am a bit, the irony that I didn't see the Tonys, not even on YouTube, is that I love watching musical numbers from the Tonys on YouTube. And
sure.
And I'm a big fan of Neil Patrick Harris's opening number from a few years ago.
That was a great one. They had all the different shows coming on. That was pretty epic. That's one for the ages, that opening number. I got to give him that.
Yeah, that was great. And then while we're on NPH, I loved his Company. When he did Company.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's the first time Patti LuPone played that role.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And she was amazing. And I mean, that's my theater queen when she comes out. Cause I watch, I'm a Broadway queen, but only on YouTube. And that's my policy.
Broadway.
Well, that's all you have.
YouTube.
You're in LA. What do you
exactly.
Gonna do?
Most people are. Honestly, the numbers are probably that. It's tough.
Right. You know, it's hard, especially these days, to get to New York and see a show. But I've watched the opening number of Company many a time and returned to it on YouTube. And it's fantastic. Oh, my gosh. That production is phenomenal. And I'm a big Sondheim person, actually. I oddly had never seen the Mandy Patinkin, Bernadette Peters, Sunday in the Park with George until recently. And then, of course, was in tears and was
that'll get you.
In it. And oh, my God. Oh, got me. Big time, and oh my goodness, loved it. So yeah, no, I
one where they make the painting at the end.
Yes,
correct.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. See, what's the big song from that?
I don't know.
Little Dabble Do Ya
hit song.
Little Dabble Do Ya.
Little Dabble Do Ya. That's a right one. Yeah,
it's a real knee tapper.
Yeah,
a knee tapper.
A knee tapper. Yeah, because they have tap shoes on their knees because they're little.
Oh,
and so they just come out and do a little tap number on the knees. Most of the people who were in the original cast cannot walk anymore because of that number. But those who saw it will always remember.
It's memorable for all.
Yes.
Especially, those who lost their ability to walk or dance.
I did just rewatch the documentary now, Co-op.
Oh, that's great.
Which it went away from Netflix just a few days ago. So
really,
that ship has it's probably on some other. It's probably on Roku TV something, wherever that is.
One of our fans, I'm sure, could give us an illegal download of it.
Please.
Oh, nice.
Well, speaking of drama and behind the scenes Broadway.
Yeah.
None of which was mentioned earlier. But today we're talking about All About Eve. John, what's the deal with All About Eve?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with All About Eve. It was written and directed by Joseph L. Mankiewicz, based on the short story The Wisdom of Eve by Mary Orr, although Orr does not receive any screen credit. And it tells the story of a seemingly timid but secretly ruthless ingenue who insinuates herself into the lives of an aging Broadway star and her circle of theater friends. It stars Bette Davis, Ann Baxter, George Sanders, Celeste Holm, Gary Merrill, Hugh Marlowe, Thelma Ritter, Gregory Ratoff, Barbara Bates, and Marilyn Monroe in one of her earliest film roles. It was released on October 13th, 1950, and made $8.5 million off a budget of $1.4 million. Variety called it a literate adult film with exceedingly well-cast performances. And in the year 2000, Roger Ebert said Betty Davis's character, veteran actress Margot Channing in All About Eve, was her greatest role. It received a record 14 Academy Award nominations and won 6, including Best Picture, Best Director, Best Supporting Actor for George Sanders, Best Screenplay, Best Costume Design, Black or White Department, and Best Sound Recording. It is the only film in Oscar history to receive 4 female acting nominations. 2 for Best Actress for Betty Davis and Ann Baxter, and Celeste Holm and Thelma Ritter as Best Supporting Actress. It is widely considered among one of the greatest films of all time. It was one of the first 50 films selected for preservation by the United States Library of Congress National Film Registry. And that is the deal with All About Eve.
Wow. So, Michael, we asked you to pick a movie. Why All About Eve?
You know, I feel like there's a few films gayer than All About Eve.
We'll see.
True.
Yeah, exactly. It remains to be defended and argued and proven. But yeah, that was my takeaway from that film. Just the messy divas left and right, yeah. And fights and witty. I just shade, just high key shade, low key shade, being mm-hmm. dropped and thrown this way and that.
Mm-hmm.
And oh,
how many times have you seen it? Do you think?
I'm going to say 3 now.
Oh, okay.
So not an abundance of times, but 3 significant times.
You know, there's so much competition for our eyeballs these days. How so anybody watches anything more than once is beyond me. Although I do it all the time. So who am I talking about?
Oh, well, hey, yeah, no, but yeah, sure. No, it's true. It's,
I'm bored. I mean, so.
Oh, yeah, no.
So it sounds like you really like it.
I'm a fan.
You're a fan.
It's safe to say. It's safe to say.
What about you, John? Had you seen All About Eve before?
Yes. In fact, Christmas when I was 12 years old, one of my uncles gave me a VHS copy of All About Eve.
What did he
and
know?
And said, I think you might enjoy this movie.
Grooming. Wow. He's a groomer. Groomer.
Real groomer. I have seen this movie dozens of times.
And what did you think when you were 12, though? Did you watch it like right away?
Oh, absolutely. I know this is a movie that people talk about. this is an iconic text.
I want to be part of the yes. water cooler conversation from the 50s.
I need to be part of what I need to get the references when people say things. I loved it then, and rewatching it, I loved it all over again. I've seen it several dozen times, probably, just because it was also a movie that I showed to a lot of people in high school and college. I was that's who I was. I mean, I think it's classic. It's so well constructed. It's so smart. It's so funny. It holds up. So many, like some of the performances, like get a little sort of theatrical and weird, but it's one of those interesting things to watch. Like, oh, this movie is now over 70 years old, to see how but some of the acting style still feels watchable, you know, like it's still watchable and good. And
these are like very theatrical
people,
weird
right?
People,
exactly. Yeah,
you know? People. So it all fits. It's all of a piece.
Yeah. So I'm a huge fan. How about you, Mark? What is your history with All About Eve?
I don't have a huge history. I think I saw it for the first time maybe like 10 years ago, but I loved it. I got the Criterion Blu-ray.
Okay.
Thank you. So I was able to go to my library and pick it up and watch it again. So I've watched it a number of times. It's great. It's so funny. It's such like a booze-soaked, like there's only one scene that's even outdoors. They're always right. like in like these fabulous apartments. It's just like such like there's such like a glamour to it, but then they're all like sloshed the entire time and like worried about aging and like they have all these like theatrical anxieties at the same time. So it's like this weird mix of glamour and like almost like a grotesqueness to the whole thing. But it's so like fun and like the dialogue is just like so like constant like zingers. It's so piffy and like so fun and smart and but it's not condescending or like. What do you call it?
Not dumb,
but like a snob. It's not a, I don't know, precocious.
It's not like elitist.
It's not elitist. Pretentious. Oh,
pretentious.
Jesus Christ. Nice. Was it worth it getting to that? I don't know. But
okay,
it's
good payoff. Good payoff. Journey, yeah, sure. No.
I'm exhausted now.
Full pretentious. Well, this is fun. Animal. Thanks for coming on, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you. Yeah. Thrilled to.
But it's amazing. It's All About Eve. What more do you want out of a movie? It's got everything. A real psycho. It reminded me of this time. I was like, oh, this is only a few steps away from Single White Female.
Oh, yeah.
you know, but it's like a more fun, like what if single white female was like pithier and like had like no right. coward-esque, you know, like bon mons. It was had a little more fun and less like was less harrowing.
Right. Didn't take itself quite so seriously.
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, with this viewing, and this was viewing number three for me in preparation for today, I have a hot take this viewing. And to me, the real unsung villain of the movie, and so I'm jumping way ahead because we didn't set up Eve and Margot and the whole thing. So assuming that everyone understands what we're talking about, to me, the unsung villain of the movie is that Karen.
Well, she's Karen. Like, I'll put Margot in her place. I'll take her down a notch, and little does she know.
None of this would have happened if Karen was opened Pandora's box.
Yeah. And then she keeps coming back, and, you know, she's so sweet and innocent and just keeps messing things up again. She does it once, she does it twice, she does it three times. It almost even gets even worse. And then she's saved by, because Margot, you know, Margot sort of forfeits by the end of the movie.
Yes.
Karen was about to be blackmailed basically by Eve into committing an even worse atrocity, and she's saved by the bell because Margot throws in the towel first.
Yeah.
And Karen would have done it too, I think.
She would. You can see her in her seat like,
she's going to crumble.
Yeah, she thinks she has a spine, but she doesn't. Karen.
Not at all.
Poor Karen. She
it was hard to
bed.
Have a spine in the 50s for a woman.
The 50s. Oh, please. She knew what she had her pearls. She married that playwright knowing what she was going to do.
She was a schemer from her days in Radcliffe. She had her sights on that playwright and she hooked him.
Yeah. It's like, I'll live in comfort if I marry a playwright.
That's right.
Michael, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a bunch of categories. And at one point, you are going to add a category to the wheel. We have a new wheel. So you're here for the debut of our seventh version of our scoring system. It's been updated. So this is our brand new sparkling set version 7.0 scoring system. So we'll see how it works. But this is our current top five gayest movies ever. This is the current ranking. Okay. So fifth place with an 89.70%, The Apple. In fourth place with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. In third place with a 90.37%, Madonna, Truth or Dare. In second place with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And number one, the current gayest movie ever with a 94.83% is Female Trouble.
Oh, yes.
All right, Michael. So if you had to guess now, how well do you think All About Eve is going to do?
In the scoring, I mean, I would give it like a
99%. 99. Wow. You think it's going to be number one?
I guess that would bump it to the top.
That'd be number one.
That's a little daring. I mean, I really went out there.
You know, but we like a big swing.
Okay.
You know, I tell you, I took a big swing for the
nice dramatic swing for the there are no balcony.
But there you exactly. Yeah, the fences. I'm not in a baseball field. I'm on the stage, the theater.
And there's also no penalties if you're wrong.
That's true.
Okay. Good. Okay. Good. Good. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Well, yeah. Good. I don't become heterosexual if I
right. Yeah. Your gay card is taken back.
Oh, right. Exactly. Just
well, Michael, so let's get to our first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're each going to give it a score between 0 and 100, and we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So in the first category, Michael, how would you score All About Eve on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
Oh, that's controversial because according to Wikipedia, Eve and Addison are gay. That's what Wikipedia.
Yeah, that's a pretty
claims.
Common theory that people have is that they are sort of their coupledom is of convenience.
Some astute film viewers like, yes. I think that theater critic might be gay.
That gossip columnist for Broadway theater might
I've got
be
a
homosexual.
Hot take.
Yeah, talk about hot take.
Yeah,
that's controversial. Yeah, right. Yeah,
But then he does also, I mean, obviously they can't just come out and say it's 1950s. They aren't just going to come out and say it. But he does like hang around these ingenues, but it seems to be just more for like power than anything.
Definitely.
Right. Because that was my question, because he seemed so, from the first time the pearls dribbled from his lips in her first shot on screen, I was like, okay, big queen.
Sure.
Clearly. But then as the movie goes on, and I feel like he has this kind of predatory vibe, and you know, with the young like you said, like the young ladies, you know, that he seems to wield this power over, and then at the end he wants to wield this power over Eve and seems to want to you know, force her into some kind of marriage or force.
Right. Power relationship of some sort.
Yeah. And I was trying to get a take on that, especially this most recent viewing. And then I was reading him as like a predatory, you know, I'm thinking Me Too, you know, it's pre-Me Too.
Sure. Right.
And then through that lens, then he seems like this, like, but it makes more sense that it's just all for show. And he's just this.
Or like, just for like the access, you know, and he just wants the access to like the inside.
Right. I'll get to the parties. I'll get to meet the people.
Yes.
Who all hate me.
Sure.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Until they need me. Right.
They hate you till they need you, baby.
That's the way.
My favorite line from Company.
Oh, I'm embarrassed. I didn't realize that was in Company, but yes. Yes.
There's also Eve Harrington herself. She does seem, as we've aforementioned, she seems single white female. Yeah.
Well, she has a weird, there's that moment near the end of the movie where she has a girl who she's like lodging with.
Phoebe?
Phoebe's the very end. Phoebe. Before that, there's a woman where she's like at the hotel who calls the playwright. And then they like, you know, kind of arm in arm go back to their rooms. But then the Phoebe feels a little sapphic, if you will.
Well, it's just like the cycle begins anew, you know?
Exactly.
Yes.
But that theirs will probably be a little more sexual than it was with Bette Midler.
Except Midler.
I could see the
sorry.
Jesus Christ, John. You're that's strike one. I got the number for the anniversary of the Tony Awards, right? Mm-hmm. And you said Bette Midler?
It's okay. It's all right. I'm editing this all out of the podcast anyway.
Oh, so love it. Okay, great. Yeah, all my flubs. I'll send you an annotated list.
Perfect.
I didn't know the line from Company. Oh, my gosh.
You're too hard on yourself.
I know, exactly. I'm like, oh, terrible, terrible.
Terrible. I'm bad. I'm bad.
Bad, bad queer.
So, yeah, there are definitely, like, characters who, like, if you were to make it today, would probably be more queer. But there's no one who, like, fully comes out and is like, I'm homosexual.
Right. But I think for the 50s, you kind of got to give them a little leeway.
Oh, I think so too. Yeah.
So what do we think?
So it's a number
zero to 100.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, in terms of number of gay characters,
just
in the
actual
movie,
like how you characters. Would rate it. So it doesn't have to be like there's five gay characters, so it gets a five. If you're like, oh, these are the major characters,
like a Boys in the Band would probably be like 100 or something.
That would definitely be 100 because everyone's gay in that.
Yeah, I guess because of the ambiguity and it's kind of open to interpretation, I'd have to go with like a 60 or maybe a
60,
50, maybe a 60. Because it's kind of ambiguous. Because is Addison, is he a sexual predator who's straight, or, or is he like just an evil theater queen who's using the ingenues to gain power in theater? Mm-hmm. So I guess I have to go with I'll go with a 60.
60.
I'm gonna go 72.
Okay. 72.
Mm-hmm. I think Eve is very gay, and she is she's a third of the title.
Yes.
Yeah, we don't know anything about what's their story.
Yeah,
and all sluts.
We get it. Too much.
Right, yeah. No, you know that all.
Oof. I'll give it I'll probably split the difference with you guys and give it a 68. Not quite splitting the difference for you math freaks out there, but it does give it 66.67, which is pretty good. What can I compare it to? I have to click to another tab, and that's too hard. So we're going to move on. All right, our next category, gay icons. How are we doing on gay icons in All About Eve?
I mean, if you just had Thelma Ritter, I'd give it a 95. But you also have Marilyn Monroe, Eve Arden, Celeste Holm, Betty Davis. It's a grand slam.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Eve Arden?
Yeah, excuse me.
Ann Baxter?
Jesus Christ, John, that's strike two. My God.
But interestingly, each time I see the link, because Bette Midler, Betty Davis, Eve Arden, Ann Baxter played, there's like a word game, there's a party
game. I'd expect my father to make that mistake, but not co-host of Two Old Quaids. Come on.
My last week, guys.
You just gave us headlines of the Tonys, and you're making these like air balls.
Oh.
Rookie mistakes.
Oh, my goodness.
Also, offenses. Edith Head. Did we say Edith Head?
The costumes.
Not say Edith Head, the costumes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was thinking, I had this thought of like, I was writing down like, oh, Marilyn Monroe. Let me think. Is she a gay icon? Wait a minute. Candle in the Wind.
Yeah.
That put it over.
Nothing else.
She is one of those who like belongs to everybody in a way.
Right.
You know what
she's
I mean?
She's an icon. Is she specifically gay? But yeah.
You got
gays also do love her. Yeah.
oh yeah, some like it hot and just that air vent. I mean, that's
air vent.
Yeah, the gays love an air vent.
Die Hard, Seven, You're It, exactly. Either one.
Exactly, Bruce Club, Willis yeah. and a.
And put Have you ever watched there. The 7 Year Itch though?
A long time ago.
Bit of a slog. Yeah. Bit of a slog.
Okay, good to know. Yeah, I feel like
pacing,
that
pacing
iconic
was
moment.
Different back then. Yeah.
Right. Apparently, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes is a lot of fun, which I keep meaning.
Oh, that is oh, yeah, great. That two little girls, two from Big Little Rock. Great musical.
All right, I'll check that one out.
Yes.
You're going to love Jane Russell.
Oh, and there's that very homoerotic number mm-hmm. in Gentlemen
Prefer. Isn't anybody here for love? Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, you're going to beat off to that, Mark. Just you wait.
Finally.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of skin-toned little tiny little Speedos on the men, and they're doing leg kicks. And
it is funny when you watch like older like movie, like 50s and 60s, just like how what was considered like a beefy, like muscly hunk. Like, right. Oh, we clearly are like just have different exercises now because they were always like right. sucking in yeah. their gut.
Right. That funny
it's like
thing.
It's like, oh, we it's learned about rib carbs. Cage. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was the body shape that they loved that that silhouette.
They love a strange silhouette.
More mass than it was sort of like cut.
Right. Yeah.
Well, Michael, what do you want to give All About Eve for gay icons? Also, I would say the movie itself.
Yeah.
You know, is a gay icon.
Is a gay in itself. I mean, that, you know, I got, it's got to be 100. It's got to be another bold swing today.
Yeah. I'm agreeing with you. 100%. It is 100.
I will also say it's 100. I mean, it's Betty Davis it's and Betty Thelma Davis. Ritter, right?
Yeah, and Betty Davis, she's eating those chocolates. She's dropping Bon Mots.
Oh, my God.
Chocolates and deciding whether to eat the chocolate. And it's like, okay, I'll have the chocolate. It's like, what's gayer than that?
Yeah.
That whole scene.
Hey, I got 100 in gay icons. Pretty great. Right. All right. Our next category, the queer gays. Is there any queer gays going all around? G-A-Z-E. G-A-Y-Z. Yes. I guess is our fun to make that even more confusing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Like, how are we doing like, for like hunks?
No one like the fashion for the men. It's a lot of high waisted pleated pants and a lot of like thick jackets and coats. So there's not a lot of that going on. But like Betty Davis looks great in this. Like they make her look really good. And I feel like that's definitely like, I don't know. There's something about that that feels like we're making her look fabulous. Like the women all look fabulous, which feels kind of queer to me.
I did, though. Listen, I would. There's a costume historian who would differ with you on that, though, John. He said I watched it was on the bonus features on my Criterion edition.
Okay. All right. Sure.
I watched that as I was putting away my laundry, which was a. But he's made a point that all of her clothes are actually, she's not like her character. Margot is not a character who's necessarily concerned with fashion. Like no. All her clothes are kind of a little like frumpy. He said a little like, and like, and like, they aren't actually like, so fair. Like actually like Karen's is the one who gets like the better looks. And then the final Eve look is really like that showstopper.
Right.
Yes,
but everything up until that is a little like off the rack-ish. Rack-ish?
Rack-ish.
Sure. Yeah. Rack-ish. Sure, yeah.
Well, I read a fun fact on the Amazon fun facts X-ray feature.
Okay.
Here's how I
love those.
Love a good X-ray feature.
So fun.
Oh, always. They really deliver.
When I'm watching Bosch, give me that X-ray.
Please. Yeah. I want every fun fact I can get. And they said that the costume that Edith had designed that gown for Betty Davis, and then it didn't fit.
Yeah.
And so she pulled, and then it was Betty Davis's idea to pull down the dress off the shoulder to make it fit. So it was practical. But then that's so
now
iconic.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then they also like Eve also wears like an off the shoulder rack one. Yeah. And then there's a scene later where she's wearing like sheer, like Betty Davis wearing like a dress with like sheer like shoulder sleeves. Mm-hmm. And then like Eve is also wearing a dress that has like sheer, like there's mirroring.
There's a
mirroring going on. It's really cool. It's really they're smart, these filmmakers.
They're onto something. Absolutely. Well, that's the gay gaze right there. What's queer more gaze. Queer than that? Like, oh, I like what she's doing. I'm gonna copy her. That right there. The queer,
but you don't get the sense that Joseph Mankiewicz is like, oh, he's coming for the gays. You know what I mean? He's like, he's not exactly like serving us like treats on a plate.
Not those kind of treats. No,
he's not also that kind of director. He's not like, correct, you know, the flashy.
Well, it doesn't. There's also like not a part in this movie where you're like, come on, they're all by a swimming pool. Why aren't these guys?
You know
what I mean? Like, so there's not like a moment where you feel like they're pulling back from
these people. Hate the beach.
Like it's there. Yeah.
They're like you, John.
Exactly. They're theater people.
That you hate the beach, love whiskey.
Give me something to go 8 shows a week. Oh, I'm so happy. Never happier.
Right. That's your beach. That's
that's my beach.
That's a Cabana.
Well, what do you want to give it for the queer gaze, Michael?
Oh, gosh. I mean, you know, because there's subtext and there's things there, but I guess kind of in terms of the queer gaze, maybe there's a sapphic gaze, I guess you could argue. That maybe that bumps it up,
that
the number.
Sure.
You know, just on sapphic alone, I'm going to bump it up to I'm going to go with a 65.
65,
because it's not so overt.
Yeah, I feel like because there's not like any man candy on display or even like female, like, you know, like they look good and glamorous, but there's no like
there's not even a shot of like scene, like there's not a shot of like seeing like Eve like take in Margot. You know what I mean? There's not like that happening
a little bit. Yeah, I will go 62.
I think you're all crazy. I'm giving this a 24.
Okay, interesting. I thought I was
all right. Interesting. Low.
So interesting. Yeah.
Giving it a 50.33, but I think you're going to make up some points here. Entrances with pizzazz.
Oh, well, I mean, now this is where it all the numbers are going to shoot through the roof. I mean, there's so much entrances with pizzazz.
You know what I really noticed, like with the entrances, like there's like a lot of good like coat work in this
so
movie.
So much coat work in this movie.
It's a really like big coat movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people say it's a theater movie, underrated coat movie.
So true. Oh, they're admiring the coats. They're wearing the coats.
They're using the coats as like a status.
Like
thing.
I can't even remember what the men were wearing because all the women are just like, there's so much going on. They're always like taking their coats.
The men are all
off.
Just in like suits and just
They're boring.
Yeah. You know, it's all about the women in there. And then that moment when Margot, she's angry at the producer, so she drapes her coat over his face.
Head. Yeah.
Yes. Now that's an entrance and a coat.
That's an entrance.
Yeah.
Storming into like the audition.
But acting like, oh, am I late? Yes. 2 hours? Oh, did the audition already happen? I had no idea.
Yes. Oh my, incredible. Incredible. Yeah, that's a diva. That's
and there's diva. Also like Betty Davis does such good like cigarette work too.
Oh yes.
I don't even smoke. I have no desire for a smoke, but she makes it look
it makes
so
you want to
good.
Do it. Yeah.
Does
it's almost like this the cigarettes are almost like the size of like pieces of chalk.
They
like,
seem shorter than what
they seem shorter
today.
And thicker.
Yeah
they seem there's a lot of cigarette bad. Holders too or some maybe it was
a few holders. Yeah. Addison had a holder. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was a real prop. It becomes a real, you know,
I wonder what that does for the experience. Like, does it make I imagine it so like the smell of smoke isn't as close to you.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think it just looks to see. You're also not touching it with your hand.
Oh, right.
You're not touching the actual cigarette.
Nicotine, yeah.
You know,
more elegant.
It seems a little pretentious, but sure.
You think?
Yeah.
A cigarette holder?
Cigarette holder.
Crazy.
I think people could bring it back, though, and it'd be fine.
I want to see that as the
but
new
no
trend.
One smokes cigarettes anymore, really.
You could put a joint in it, I guess.
Oh, yeah, or a vape. Probably. Well, I guess a vape, you know, like on the end of a holder. A vape,
tape your jewel to it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
They should just make so long jewels.
Yeah.
Sure. Like a foot long jewel.
Like ultras. Sure. Yeah.
Subway, get on that.
Exactly. Yeah, I see. I see a real industry there.
A real industry
burgeoning. Yeah, a real one.
A real, not like these fake ones. Crypto, get out of here.
Oh yeah,
that's
no,
not
yeah.
anything. It's all
okay. No. It's all about the yeah.
Well, Michael, what do you want to give All About Eve and Entrances with Pizzazz?
Okay, that I mean, oh my gosh. I mean, you know, maybe not everyone had an entrance with pizzazz. So, but I'll give it a solid 90.
90.
I'll give a solid 90 because most of them did.
Yeah.
In the movie.
What are some big ones besides like Margot coming into that audition? That's the only one I wrote down.
I think the first time we see Eve is like
she's being brought up at an award ceremony.
Yeah, but you don't see her. They like delay you seeing her for a long time.
Sure. She doesn't get
you just see like the flashes and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and Thelma Ritter has some great where she's slamming doors. She's swinging doors and slamming doors. And
the only problem with all like Thelma Ritter does like disappear for like the last half of the movie.
Definitely. Yeah,
which is a big problem. It's too bad.
Yes. She needed to come back.
Like if this became like a horror movie, like you could see her like almost taking down Eve, but Eve taking her down. Because obviously the final fight has to be Margot and Eve. But like, we sacrificed Birdie on the way to Margot.
She did, yeah. And funny, Margot kind of disappears too. Like, I feel like Margot fades away and then becomes, it's sort of like in the last, maybe it's just my perception, but it feels like, maybe it's really just like the last 10 minutes, but then it really becomes Eve. It's like the last 3 minutes. I'm
like, yeah. She should come into the ladies' room like, oh, sorry, just
did I interrupt?
Exactly. Hello. One last word.
Just came in to take
this
my coat off.
The dolls, exactly. And that's what would happen.
Exactly. And there'd be wig pulling and Exactly.
John, what do you want to give it for entrances with pizzazz?
I don't, to me, there's not as many So I'm going to go 60.
60. John, that's what I was going to give it.
Oh, okay.
You still can. I'm also giving it a 60. Give it an average of 70.
Oh, yeah.
All right, our next one. The Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety do you think this movie would give Mike Pence?
I mean, not. I think he'd be comfortable.
I think he'd be okay.
It's even though I guess he's uncomfortable being around women. He can't be in the same room as a woman.
Sure. But the movie does have
like that we're seeing them in dressing rooms, and she does sort of like submit to heteronormativity at the end, which is just
All the couples that were threatened by Eve end up safe in the end. You know, they're fine.
Right. Well, and also it is Mike Pence's worst nightmare at the end, that last shot of Phoebe where she's multiplied in all the mirrors. That'd be so many women.
That's true, right.
That'd be scary.
Ah!
For Mike Pence.
Oh, no.
Mother. Yeah, like women, too much feminine energy. Yeah. So I think he would be comfortable. So on the scale of how uncomfortable he would be.
Yeah, how much anxiety it's going to give
him. Oh, I mean, I'm going to go low because I think he'd be pretty comfortable. So I'm going to say 30.
30.
I think he'd be comfortable.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't like all these women being duplicitous and you know, but I do think ultimately the movie sort of says like, Betty Davis is like finally like happy when she like settles down. And like,
do you think anyone has ever asked him like, who's your favorite old Hollywood star? And he probably says Ronald Reagan.
In the bathhouse. They asked him in the bathhouse.
In the bathhouse. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Who's your favorite?
And he said Ronald Reagan. Yeah. And he said,
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You could smoke in the bathhouse, right?
Oh, sure.
I imagine. At least certain ones.
The ones he goes to. Yeah. Right. In the smoking room.
Smoking in the boys' room.
There you go.
Smoking
right.
The boys in the smoking room.
Ooh, yeah. Smoking something. Yeah, exactly.
Hey-o.
I will give it a 27.
27.
Okay, yeah.
I'll give it a 28, just because like theater people also, I think, would disturb
that energy. Really bothers them. Yeah. All the gossip.
All right, you're gonna make up a lot of points here, also, Michael. Hell on Heels, feisty ladies. It's mostly feisty ladies.
Pretty much.
It's from wall to wall.
Constant.
Feisty. Yeah, exactly. There's all the feisty ladies. The heart could desire.
The only one who's not really feisty is Marilyn Monroe.
But she's funny. Right. She gets
funny,
marks
but
in.
She's not like strident or feisty. But yeah,
no. Well, you know, she's new. She doesn't want to be rude. Mm-hmm. She doesn't insult the man who took her though. So that was something.
And I did learn another fun fact in the Amazon X-ray that Betty Davis was so mean to Marilyn Monroe that she basically barked at her during that party scene, and Marilyn had to leave the set to vomit.
Oh my God. What a nightmare.
And then she came back. So that's what so for that, that ups the feisty lady.
Sure. On and off the set.
On and off the set. Behind the scenes. And here's another fun fact I learned. This was a good one, that when Celeste Holm first introduced herself to Betty Davis on the set, and Celeste Holm said, "Good morning." And Betty Davis said, "Oh shit, good manners." And that's the last time they spoke to each other. Celeste says they never spoke to each other again. That also ups the number.
Yeah, that's gotta up the number.
Yeah, Betty Davis just racking up points here. So
and then
Eve
blackmailing people to get apart.
Birdie.
John, I was the Eve blackmailing Karen thing made me wonder, like, have you ever had to do anything unconventional to like book a part? Book a role.
Have I ever had to do something unconventional, like threaten someone? No.
Basically, threaten. Yeah.
Yeah.
Black
that's
man.
How we got
I
mean, this. That's
I,
how we
I
got
said
this
I could
job.
Drive a stick shift when I couldn't. And I figured they figured
this
out.
This is for the stage?
For a very, very experimental production of.
Cats with cars.
Yes.
Cars.
Exactly.
We tried it. It didn't work out.
Oh, well,
instead of memory, they sing Corolla.
Yeah, it was when Skimbleshanks the railway was going to come in the train, and it was a big number.
So you lied about having a stick shift. That seems fine. I think it's pretty high in Hell on Heels.
Yeah,
personally, I don't want to sway you, Michael, one way or the other.
I mean, I've been very hyperbolic this whole time with my numbers, but because I'm going to give it 100.
100.
I'm just going to go with 100 again.
I'm going to go 97 just because I don't like that at the end, Margot's like, I'm going to become a housewife.
You know what? You swayed me. If it's not too late, I'd like to rescind my number. I'm going to go 98.
98. So what if that was her choice?
Oh.
Is that not a viable choice for her to make?
It feels inconsistent with this character.
I could see her. I don't think she's retiring from acting. I think she's just retiring from that part of like, I'm too old for this part.
No, she was like, I'm retiring from the stage.
She'll be back. They always say that. It's like LCD Sound System.
Right. Of course, they're coming back.
I don't buy it. She'll be back. She'll be back. I'm going to give it a 99. Giving it a 98.
Okay. Nice.
All right, the last of the canon categories. We are flying through these now. Michael, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend All About Eve to a gay person?
Okay. Again, it's going to shock you. I'm going to go with 100.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, this is a must. This is an essential in the canon. Like, if you meet the, like, young, blossoming gay who doesn't know anything about the gay sensibility or queer culture, and you get to give them that starter kit,
yeah,
All About Eve. That's in the starter kit.
Definitely. Yeah, I will also give it 100. It's a classic. It like is a good movie. It's not just like, oh, it's fun trash. It's like it's got the pedigree. It is very good. It holds up. So many things have come off of it. You know what I mean? Like have come from it or derivative of it. So yes, it's one of the sacred mother texts, I believe.
And you have shown it to an ex. John's hosted parties apparently. Have you ever shown it to anybody, Michael?
My husband.
The three times you've watched it?
Your husband.
That's very gay. That's very gay.
You can't get much gayer than showing All About Eve to your gay husband.
Exactly. Exactly.
As gay as you can get with your clothes on.
Exactly. Who said they were on?
Oh, hello.
Saucy here.
Well, got 100 and likely to recommend to a gay person. And now we are in the new and improved wheel category.
So here's what's going to happen now. So these are all previous categories guests have brought in. We put them on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. So what's going to happen is we're going to spin it twice now. And whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we will judge it. Now, and then we also have a listener submission that Mark is in charge of.
This is true.
That'll be one of the categories. And then finally, Michael, you will either come up with a category or you can pick a category that is already on the wheel. If you want, I can sort of walk you through that and help you say, like, here's some potentially good categories you might want to use in lieu of creating one yourself. Does that make sense?
Sure. Sounds good.
Okay. So here we go. I'm going to spin the wheel, which is just touching this button. Mirror motif.
I don't know if it's a motif.
That at the end, that look, all of that.
But a motif means it like recurs throughout the movie.
But there's also a lot of dressing room scenes where they're like looking at each other through mirrors and stuff like that. There's some mirrors.
Yeah.
These actor types, they love a mirror, don't they?
Oh,
love
sure. Exactly.
Of course. Narcissist.
Yes. Right. Yes.
Classic. Very Greek.
Classic.
Very, very Greek.
Don't get much Greeker.
It doesn't.
Yeah, there's the haunting final image.
Yes.
Of Phoebe with all the
mirrors and the
left by herself ultimately.
Yeah.
Boy.
Oh my gosh. And by the way, another side note, because to supplement my Amazon X-ray, I also went down a Wikipedia rabbit hole.
Sure.
And learned that almost everyone in the cast had, of course, well, because it's Hollywood and it's Hollywood Babylon, they all had crazy scandalous events in their lives.
Sure.
And you go figure, it's a shocker. But Barbara Bates, who plays Phoebe.
Yeah. Oh my God. I read her Wikipedia page. Boy, was that. I thought Bam Margera's Wikipedia page was depressing.
This was rough.
Who was on this Wikipedia page?
Years of depression and then like her husband dying of cancer and like multiple suicide attempts on her part. And then an ultimately successful one when she was like in her 40s.
Yes.
Very sad.
Very sad that she committed suicide, and then so did George Sanders. Committed suicide, and there's so much. So much tragedy, and
I wonder if like you could do that if you looked at like the Wikipedia page for like High School Musical 2. Now like has enough time passed for dramatic incidences to like accumulated yet?
Oh well, Zac Efron's got some juicy tales. Go.
Does he?
Yeah. Well, all I know about Zac Efron is the juicy. Who, by the way, once at Gelson's on Franklin. Zac Efron was in front of me in line, and that was very exciting.
So what did he buy?
Oh, I wish I remembered. I was too distracted.
Sure.
I was. He had his hoodie on. He was trying to be discreet, but it was clearly Zac Efron, and he was just trying to make a purchase. But he and his bodyguard went down to Skid Row apparently. They said basically, it's believed they were scoring drugs, but they said that they took a wrong turn and somehow ended up in Skid Row and had some physical altercation. You know, as it happens.
Shit on a Friday happens. Night,
you know, you take a wrong turn. Yeah. You're trying
suddenly
to
you're in Skid Row.
Suddenly you're in Skid Row and you're trying to buy rocks of crack. But
was this recently?
Not too recently. I mean, maybe 10 years ago.
Oh, okay. So he's fine. So
he's
recently.
Fine. Oh, he, yeah.
He's he went fine. He's got his life together.
He got it all. He went through it and he's back on track. Mm-hmm. He's, got all rips now and he's making rom-coms.
But he's been more fascinating than ever.
Exactly. He's, still, going strong. But
I got through 10 minutes of Firestarter.
Okay.
More than most.
I need to renew my Peacock subscription so I can see it.
I use my brother's login. Nice. No commercials. It's great.
Oh yes.
That's the way to go.
The only way.
That's the only way to fly. Well, what do you want to give All About Eve for mirror motif?
Oh, Michael? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And I do. I feel like there is some little, they're mirroring each other, which is, like you were saying.
That's true.
That's true. Very good.
Kind of cool.
All right,
so,
then.
Textual.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that kind of bumps up the number. So
sure.
You know, so I'm going to give it a, I'll give it a, for mirror motifs, I'm going to go with the bold 80.
80
for that.
I was going to go low, but then when you talked about not a literal mirror, the mirroring each other, I was like, oh, all right. That's what this movie is. I'm going to go 88.
Okay. 88.
Yeah.
I'll go 80. That seems right. Yeah. Giving it an 82.67.
Okay.
Right. Dawn, did you ever practice winning acting award or something? You did?
Of course. As a child? Yes. Yeah. You haven't?
I never pretended to accept an award.
I don't believe you.
It's true. I would rather. No, I was more being Indiana Jones or something. You know what I mean? Those weren't my fantasies. Or being I wanted to be Short Round, essentially.
Oh, okay.
You wanted to tell people,
okay.
No time for love, Dr. Jones. That's all
exactly.
You
wanted to do. I swear it took me, I never had a fantasy of winning an award. I would just want to thank my mom. That's about it.
But. Oh.
Sure. Well, you can practice that.
What's there to say? Thanks, Mom. This is for you, Mom.
Well, there you go. It says all it all. Right. Yeah.
Let's spin the wheel again.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh. Screaming to the heavens.
Screaming to the heavens.
Not really a screaming. People raise their voice and shout, but no one
a lot
screaming.
Of, no one's oh God, why? How did this happen?
These people are too put together.
Yeah.
No, they're pretty. I mean, that whole sloshed. Scene where Margot comes into that thing, that one audition, that, the audition that she missed.
Oh, yes.
That's not screaming. She never loses her cool.
She 100% loses her cool. They all start screaming and leaving the theater.
You know what I mean? Not screaming.
She throws herself on a bed and he has to wrestle with her.
But not screaming. She's not screaming.
Yes, Mark, we've heard you. She's not screaming.
She's not. She shouts and yells. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because she has to reach the second mezzanine. Sure.
But to me, screaming is like a primal, more of a primal rage kind of thing. And she doesn't, no one ever kind of loses it in that level and that devastating. Yeah.
No
level.
One goes that bizarre.
They're too intellectual and neurotic.
Right. Yeah.
To let themselves completely go like that. To have a primal thing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's zero. I'm saying, I don't think this is oh, this is
right.
Catnip for fans of Screaming to the Heavens.
Right. Yeah. They remain very articulate. And even when they're raging, it's sort of just very witty.
They're still witty.
Very
yes.
Witty. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, with a raised voice, a witty raised voice is the extent.
Which, so, welcome to New York City, am I right?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Theater folk.
Theater folk, they'll never shut up.
Right, they'll never, and they'll cut each other down, but with a clever turn of phrase.
Well, they were really rude, but they said it in such a smart way.
Right, exactly.
It wasn't until I got home that I realized how rude they were to me.
Yeah.
It's very that. And Marilyn Monroe really got it. Cause or at least her character did not realize that she was being viciously torn to pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what would you give All About Even Screaming to the Heavens?
Oh gosh,
Michael?
It's going to be low. It's going to be low. Because of the violence of some of those insults,
sure,
that bumps it up a little, but still just brings it to maybe a 20.
20.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with 31.
Okay, yeah.
31 based on
just that scene where they're fighting at the audition, the fasten your seatbelt's gonna be a bumpy night. There's a
that
lot
line
of
she speaks and doesn't scream.
Yeah, but all of her her just manicness with the chocolates and stuff. Yeah.
Yes.
It would have been fun to see like Madeline Kahn's take on Margot Channing.
Oh, she'd have been great.
One of them.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Oh, that'd be incredible.
Someone pull up old. There's got to be some variety show clips of Madeline Kahn doing something.
There's got to be a screen test somewhere on YouTube.
Somewhere.
Got to be.
I give it a 15, give it an average of 22. All right. Now we are into our listener submitted category. Okay. This is a brand new feature of the show.
Okay.
This is from a list. These are just blind, so they don't know what movie it's going to be for, but I just go through and pick like, oh, this one I think it'll work here.
Okay.
You know,
so you deciding stuff. All right. Great.
Is that a problem for you, or would you like to go on order received?
No.
It sounded like a complaint. Do you have something to say about that, John?
No.
No, you're fine with it?
Describe it. Go ahead. I love it.
It's different than how did I describe it?
Just keep going.
It seems like you have an issue, but then you buckle when you're confronted. Well, interesting. Well, I thought this one was fun, and it's from a longtime listener, if that's okay, John.
Of course, that's great. I love
the category is Citation Queen. And the description is our character is speaking in cultural, literary, aesthetic, pop references to an obvious degree. And he says, like, the girls love a reference. The higher the quantity or quality of the references, the more likely the film will be tapping into the gay legacy of speaking in code. And that comes from Adam, a.k.a. you can find them on social media at Palm Crash Valentine, longtime listener. Thank you, Adam. And if you want to submit a category, there is submission in the show notes, a link to the Google form where if you can submit a category. So Citation Queen, it's character speaking in cultural, literary, aesthetic, pop culture references. And I feel like they are constantly talking about theatrical references.
Yeah.
They're referencing other actors, writers, directors.
Critics. I feel like they're talking about all these critics.
Yes.
Yeah, I think this is going to be high. This is going to be high for me. And funny, because a lot of the references seem to be very topical to 1950. And so it's like, they're like, oh, you know, that one critic in the Times.
I think I got like 10% of the references, but I still enjoyed what I was hearing.
Totally.
You know what I mean?
It had the ring of authenticity. You're like, I bet if I knew who Tyrone Powell was, I'd really be laughing right now.
Right.
Yeah. I could tell this means something to them. So so I'm going to give it I'm going to say 90.
90.
I will give it a 82.
82. I'll give it 87.
Okay, yeah.
Given an average of 86.33. All right, Michael, now it's time for your cap. Did you want to come up with one or did you want to choose one, an existing one?
You know, because this was a phrase that came, that just, it was a real refrain throughout the movie, was Messy Diva.
Messy Diva. Okay. I love that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I feel like this movie, Margot is sort of
at her party. Throwing the worst party.
Throwing the worst party, nightmare party, where she's throwing the biggest tantrum at her own party and everyone miserable.
But no one wants to leave because she's famous.
Right. Exactly. They're all held captive.
They haven't given out the food yet.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And that cheap booze. She bought the domestic stuff.
I love messy divas.
Gotta love a messy diva. And then that great moment where she's running down the stairs and then she like starts walking really slowly right before she enters the room, so to pretend that she'd been walking very graciously the whole time down the stairs. That's a real messy diva moment.
Marilyn Monroe having to leave her audition to throw up.
Yes. That's right. In the movie and in real life.
Yeah.
True. Oh, how interesting. How meta. Yeah.
Levels.
Oh, so many levels. So I, for messy divas, I mean 97.
97.
97.
I'll go full 100 for messy divas.
100.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll go 98 just because I needed someone to have like food on their shirt or something.
Oh, sure. To really get messy with the
some those chili. Yeah.
Yeah.
Guacamole.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. That party. They could do the.
Now we are into the bonus category.
All right, so these categories, as the name implies, are just bonus. So these are just extra percentage points the movie will get, and it's 0 to 10 for these next couple categories.
Okay. All right,
so the first one, Michael, on 0 to 10 for bonus, musical potential.
Oh, and then, that's going to be a 10 because there's an applause.
Yes, a musical adaptation. Yeah, there we go.
Lauren Bacall and applause. So that's my,
I did watch it's set in the 70s, which I had no idea, which seems so funny. And they go to like a gay bar. You can watch clips of it on YouTube.
They made a TV movie version of the Broadway musical. So you can watch that with Lauren Bacall. I've only seen clips of it. It's pretty dire. It's not a great musical, but it is a musical. And it has some like fun numbers in it.
I was texting a little bit with Jeff Hiller about it because There's a version of Applause that was staged by Ivan Van Ho. His like that
not Applause of All About Eve.
Of All About Eve, whatever. Yes. But then I found that, and then he reminded me, didn't remind, but All Applause was the debut of Bonnie Franklin.
Yeah.
From One Day at a Time.
That's how she became a star. Yeah.
Incredible.
Put her on the map. One show at a time, one audition at a time.
That's right. There you guys, I see. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, have they done Applause? Like, does it get brought back a lot?
No, they've tried, and it's just as a show doesn't really work. And
but it seems like you just like throw out Applause and do a new one or something. All About Eve.
Right.
I don't know. Well, Applause also is weird because when they first started adapting it, they didn't have the rights to do All About Eve. So like the Addison DeWitt character is not in it. And then halfway through doing it, they did get the rights. So they sort of did use all those same character names, but then they didn't use it. Was like they were halfway through making it. So some things didn't always make it. So it's one of those things like when you see it, you're like, you're doing a musical of All About Eve, and you don't have Addison DeWitt. Like it seems insane, but that's sort of just what happened.
And they made Bernie a gay hairdresser.
Yes.
Leroy Which is Reigns. Fun.
Sure. Oh, that's a good nice
if
touch.
If you're not going to have Thelma Ritter, you might as well.
I mean,
might as well have a gay hairdresser.
Something.
If you don't have Thelma Ritter, get a gay hairdresser. That's my note to Hollywood.
Those are words I live by, too. Yeah. Life.
Can we get Thelma Ritter? No. All right.
Go with the gay hairdresser. And here's our... fun fact. Another fun fact from the Amazon X-ray. On Red on Cue. Is that apparently Anne Baxter during the stage run of Applause stepped in for Lauren Bacall and
when Lauren Bacall left, Anne Baxter took over. So the Eve became
the
Margo.
Cycle begins anew. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It does seem like an obvious, I don't know, it just seems like such
great
so
choice
easy.
For a musical.
It's a great choice.
It's anytime you're like in the world of theater people, it's just they're gonna just break out into song for no reason, or they'll get like really emotional about something that's not that emotional, like so it makes sense as opposed to like it's set in the world of business. It's like, all right, how do we
business
make these
people
guys
are
safe?
Very emotional.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. And very, very prone to break into song as
love
well.
A tap dance.
Yeah, I love And a knee tap.
Well, knee to get your knees tapping. Michael, what do you want to give 0 to 10% for bonuses for All About Eve? Musical potential.
Oh, yeah. So I've got to go 10.
A 10.
10 as well.
Yeah.
I too will go a 10.
All right. Yeah.
All right. The next one, Queer Menace.
Oh.
I mean, we could call Eve.
I would say so. Yeah. She's definitely threatening heterosexuality.
She throws herself at both of the different men.
And also is infatuated with Margot.
Yeah.
Yes. And then
she's
Addison
like
is
everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also don't believe Eve like experiences love, like knows what love is. I feel it's just like, what can these people do for me?
Yeah. She's completely like cold hearted and driven.
Right. She's got a trophy in place of a heart.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Is she the basis for Paula Abdul's Cold Hearted Snake? Maybe.
I think so.
Could be.
I think
could be
in the mix.
In the mix. Yeah, definitely in the mix.
I was rewatching that video and like, I was flipping through. You ever just put on like Pluto and like go on like the 90s music video channel and just let it play?
But okay.
It's fun because you don't have to make a choice. It just plays. Nice. And they're usually pretty, a lot of time but they played Cold Hearted Snake one night. I was like, I haven't seen this one forever. It's so horny.
It's very sexy.
Things are not as sexy as they used to be.
No.
That's right.
David Fincher directed the video. Very horny. Good for you, Paula.
Yeah, okay, Paula. Really bring. I think that was definitely part of my the sexual awakening in the in the 80s. Sure. But I don't know if I was probably looking at the male dancers, but just all the sexual
The energy.
Yeah, just that sexual energy. Oh, and
were you into Rush? Remember with Keanu?
You know, I'm very aware of it. I was never big on the love ballads. It was a little too slow for me. Now I'm more.
Paul is not a balladeer.
Right.
No, so but that's a fun later. One. It's all Rebel Without a Cause. Bad,
Exactly. That 50s. And, now I have more appreciation as I've aged into my love ballads. Sure. Now I can, now I'll take a good Celine. I'll take a Rush.
Hero by Enrique.
Oh, Iglesias.
That's the one.
Okay, that one. Now I'm thinking Enrique Mariah Feldstein. When a hero comes along.
I can be your hero, baby. You know that one?
I don't know that one.
Wow, Jennifer Love Hewitt's in the video.
Oh, I gotta watch it. Because I just think When a Hero Comes Along by Mariah Carey.
Of course.
So that's that's
classic. Classic hero, that's where you go.
Yes.
Yeah. What were we talking about?
Queer Menace.
Oh, well, so this is interesting. Because it's kind of ambiguous and I'll say nine.
I'll say a nine.
I'm gonna go eight.
Yeah. Eight. I'll go 7.
All right.
Oh, given an average of 8.
Okay.
All right, our next one. Character actress makes a big swing.
Oh, I mean
Thelma Ritter. Thelma, she's making the most of every moment she's got.
Well, she does. She just, she I don't want to say she chooses the scenery, because she lovingly savors the scenery in every moment.
Well, towards the end, I would say Anne Baxter really, like, definitely. Let's go. She really goes, she's a liar. She's a liar. Oh, that stuff is
she
great.
She has it throughout. She has like when she has her, like she, when she's like remembering her past, it's very like, okay.
But at monologues. The end, when like Addison is like confronting her with the truth, and like she just has a total like soap opera meltdown. It's pretty great.
Oh, yes. And all those moments where she drops the persona and her like tough, hardened side comes out. Yeah. Oh, gosh. So that's going to be a 10. I'm going to give it a 10.
I'm going to go 8.
Eight. I'll go 8. Because I don't think anyone is like.
Yeah.
That's so out of character for this.
It's not like, oh, we've never seen this person do that before.
Right. Yeah.
Giving it an 8.67. Pretty good. All right. Our next one. Newly minted bonus category, formerly canon, but now macabre. How macabre is all about Eve. There is like a macabre energy, like the obsession of it all. The psychology
the
is pretty macabre.
Taking over someone's life. The plays were also called Aged in Wood and Footsteps on the Ceiling. Those
well,
are
just all the themes
creepy.
Of like being an aging actress and like the entertainment industry is like pretty fucked up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the way, and doesn't Addison say he's like, I'm going to own you now? Or that's macabre.
There's a lot of darkness.
Yeah,
maybe the entertainment industry isn't, if you think it's like a beautiful wonderland, it's going to be a rude awakening.
We got
maybe.
News for you. Yeah. It's, the Tinseltown, or not Tinseltown, the Great White Way. Yeah. It's not always smoke and mirrors. Smoke and mirrors.
So macabre.
Oh, macabre. Oh, yes. But I guess because of there is the, it's not totally macabre. So I'll say 8.
8.
Yeah. There's no like lightning strike or like a spider. So, but there is some darkness.
There's probably
6.
Spiders in that theater.
In that old theater. In that old theater. Every theater has spiders. And it's probably haunted, but we didn't have time to get into it. But I'll go 6.
Yeah.
I'll go 5.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Giving it a 6.33. And finally, the last of the bonus categories, gay actors playing gay roles.
Oh, well, I need to know George Sanders. Oh, because he had all these wives. Not.
I mean, he was married to Zsa Zsa Gabor, which kind of sounds like you were gay.
Yeah. The ultimate beard. That's what they called her.
Oh, amazing. Beard. And I think he also ended up dating her older sister, or he like later.
Ava Gabor or a different Gabor. I don't know how many Gabors there are.
Oh.
I don't
you can
know
shake this a stick at.
I need to double check my Wikipedia on that one.
Your Gaborpedia?
My Gaborpedia. Yeah, which is my preferred pedia.
Thank you.
Yes.
Lots on Green Acres, not so much on Tunisia.
Oh, right. Magda Gabor. Very specific. The elder sister of the second wife.
Oh,
you're right.
Yes.
Of course she's
His
named
fourth
Magda.
And last marriage was to Magda Gabor.
He married two Gabor sisters?
Yes.
That's
and
pretty
that,
gay.
That marriage only lasted 32 days, after which he began drinking heavily.
Wow.
I drove him to drink.
Yeah. I would have loved to just seen like the Gabor like Christmas that year or something.
Oh, that's uncomfortable.
Absolutely.
That Christmas card.
Yeah.
His autobiography was called Memoirs of a Professional Cad.
That's amazing.
That's pretty straight.
That's pretty right.
Well, professional, so maybe he actually wasn't, but for the money, he was.
For the money, he'll do
for
it.
For pay, straight for pay.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh gosh. I mean,
but I don't think there's any gay actress.
No, and I even looked up Phoebe, and I tried to figure out who the actress was on the phone, and I could.
I tried to look up that piano player of hers.
Sure.
So it was like, play it again. What do you mean, Margo? Come on, Margo, not Liebstrom again.
Right.
But he was straight.
Oh, wow. Really? And also straight writer, director. There weren't a lot of gay people, at least in the writing and the...
No
that's
one was out,
yeah.
At least out, yeah. So that's kind of interesting. Because it's the gay sensibility is so strong there, but...
Right.
I guess straights can know camp, too.
Yeah.
Straights can work in theater and drama as well, unfortunately.
Yeah. It's, we'll allow it.
You don't see us getting into NASCAR.
No.
Right.
You can have it.
Yeah, pick a
way. All your sports.
Right, exactly. Let us have this.
Even golf or tennis? Or what's the gay sports? Tennis
and soccer, maybe?
Yeah.
Oh, and these days, football, apparently.
Hey-o. A lot of hey-os.
I know.
It's the different All About Eve episode. Yeah.
Exactly. Thelma Ritter, her spirit is guiding us.
She's always going, hey-o.
Yeah, she does. That's her catchphrase in the movie. It's
so she enters, hey-o. That's, hey-o. Yeah, exactly.
The door swings open. And
it's a Ritter.
That's exactly. Yeah.
Well, what do you want to give this for gay actors playing gay roles?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I guess I have to say zero, but we don't know. So I'll, for the benefit of the doubt, I'll say 10. Because we don't, because maybe someone's in the
closet. Zero to 10?
Out of 10?
Okay. I was on my 100 scale. So that's, I was thrown a real curveball. So I'll say a one.
A one.
A one.
That makes more sense. I do like the original thing of like, we can't say for sure, so I'll give it all of it. I will give it a one as well.
Yeah. I too will give it a one. Do they ever show, like, they never show like a packed house, I don't think. Like, you only see the stage from behind.
You see some people leaving the theater, stuff like that. But yeah.
Yeah. But like when the curtain calls, you only see it from backstage point of view. Which I like.
Some of those cast members had to be gay.
I do like how everyone in the movie like is like kind of like fuck the audience, like they're idiots, you know, losers wanting autographs. It's such a funny, like cynical, like portrayal.
Seriously, yeah, they're the real
All right, Michael. Now we're into the revamped iconic categories.
So these categories are bigger, broader categories. So we're scoring these from 0 to 225.
Whoa. Okay.
All right. So the first one, Michael, how would you rate All About Eve on a scale of 0 to 225 in homoeroticism?
Oh, I mean, I guess there isn't much homoeroticism.
But like, there is Eve and the lady at the hotel.
Oh, yes.
And then Phoebe.
Yes. So that does bump it up. But
0 to 225.
It's still not going to be high.
No, it's all pretty like psychological and like it's all like subtext. Yeah. It's not really like even that. It's not like no one's like fingertips brush or there's not even like an exchange of glances or anything.
Yeah, there's like a women holding each other's waists as they walk up the stairs.
But that's what ladies did back then.
That was
they were all drunk.
That was what they did.
That's what they did. That's
they couldn't stand up.
Right, exactly. All those martinis they were trying
and heels.
Right, exactly. It's understandable.
They didn't have some sort of bustle or some sort of cinched in some way, not breathing properly.
Right.
They'd probably be wearing Crocs now.
Yeah, for comfort. Sure. Because there's comfort. No appreciation anymore you got to suffer for.
I always thought that's crazy. Awesome. You see this in like older movies a lot, but like New York City, 2-story apartments. How rich are these people?
Yeah, from the theater and that view, the playwright had a view of Central Park. That's a successful play. I mean, I guess they did say he was like the most successful playwright in America.
He's probably kind of like a Neil Simon-y kind of person.
Okay.
He wrote Aged in Wood, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's an American classic now.
Do people put dramatic act like, for Broadway folk, John.
Okay.
In the hierarchy, do like musical like stars go over like play stars?
They make more money, and way in which like with musicals, there's a way in which musicals you can sort of like take out numbers, and so people can do a number from a show, which is like for a play, it's not as likely to be like we're just going to come on the Tonight Show.
Cherry Jones can't do a thing from
Doubt. Yeah, she's not just going to do a monologue from Doubt or The Heiress or something like that.
She should.
Like, I mean, I saw her. Imagine you. It's incredible.
Imagine you're flipping through late night and you see like someone doing a monologue about like their dead kid. That'd be great.
Sure, people would love that. Like, oh, now I'm ready for bed.
Bedtime performance.
So yeah, so there's a bit of like more like shine or like excitement to like musical theater.
What about you, John? Do you put them on higher?
Not necessarily, but again, like the musical people, you can sort of like listen to it you can listen to a cast recording in a way that like you're probably not going to listen to a play on tape while like you're doing like cleaning up or doing dishes or something like that or driving around.
I might listen to art when I'm doing my dishes.
Catchy. Sure. Yeah.
Catchy. That's, catchy. Well, yeah. What do you think for homoeroticism?
So very low. Out of 225, I mean 30. Maybe 30. 30.
Yeah, I'll go 30 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll go 30 as well, giving it 30.
30.
Tough. Okay. All right, the next one, though, you might make up some here. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch All About Eve and come away with a whole book of ideas?
Maybe. Yeah, I think they got their one-woman show.
The looks.
Some of, It's almost higher though in like mannerisms and like just looks. You know what I mean? I feel to me like it's like looks like, yeah, sure. Like especially
but,
like her
but
gown.
Also like all the dressing room scenes. Like this is like untucked
energy.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like working a cigarette. Just the rat-a-tat-tat of like the sass and the chat, you know, like in the way they sort of just go do with stuff. Like, I think this is like, there's, I can't imagine there's any drag queen that you have any respect for who like doesn't know and love this movie.
So you won't respect a drag queen who hasn't seen this.
I would be surprised, and I would, but I couldn't imagine that if they hadn't seen it would be like, meh, it wouldn't be like, oh my God, I love it or love parts of it. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say, also out of reverence, but I'll say 225.
225.
Yeah.
I'll say 200 because I agree, like, the looks aren't quite as iconic, but they're up there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it does. Yeah, for looks. Yeah.
I'll give it a 180. Stuff.
Okay, 180. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, got a 201.67.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good.
All right, our next category, camp factor. How campy is All About Eve?
Uh-oh. Okay, we're back at 225 again. I'm just going because just the lines, the quotable lines. I mean, which is sort of a different category, I guess, but camp fact, yeah. And it's just,
yeah, it's the one liners calling a fifth rate vaudevillian, you know, theater parties,
bumpy nights, and
those like melodramatic sort of self-indulgent monologues are very campy. Yeah. I will say 190 because like what to me would make it campier if there's like someone in drag or something. You know what I mean? Like I feel like in and of itself the movie, you know what I mean? Like there's no even
they're
when
also sophisticated and
like the acting does get over the top definitely at times, but it doesn't go to like super insane territory.
No.
Right. Yeah. It is pretty campy that Karen drains the gas from the car so that they'll be stranded in the
plot
snow.
Twist,
that's a plot twist.
And they're even like getting a letter, just getting a note like "Meet me in the ladies' room."
Oh
like
yeah, it's very "Meet me in the ladies." That moment, that's high camp. Mm-hmm. Oh my God! And then when she goes in the bathroom and it seems like Karen is forgiving Eve and she's having a moment of tenderness and she says, "Well, if there's anything I can do, just let me know if there's anything." And she's like, "There's one thing."
Actually,
and
she like she turns to Smeagol.
Her wrist. Yeah. Yes, right. Her smoldering eyes and her evil shooting out like laser beams. It's like there's one thing. Oh my gosh, that's a drag queen's fantasy come to life.
So what would you say for a camp factor?
Oh, so for me, it's going to be another 225.
225. One of the campiest movies you've ever seen.
I think so. I mean, you know, well, maybe because there is actual some gravitas and some non-campy great acting.
Yes.
I'm going to lower it. Okay, I'm going to be a little more conservative and I'm going to not much though. And I'm going to say 210.
210. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say 198.
You went up 8 points.
I did. I decided.
Wow. I got a quick list of campy things I noticed. Here we go. Realizing it's not important to hear what an actor says. An actress holding court in her dressing room, making a meal out of blowing smoke up an actor's ass. Eve saying, when you're a secretary at a brewery, it's hard to make believe you're anything else. Everything is beer. Having your person telling someone on the phone that you're not home. Tossing around theatrical references like everyone understands what you're talking about. A moody actress hosting a terrible party. Cigarette holders arguing near a harp. A piano realizing it has not written the concerto, calling San Francisco an oasis of civilization in the California desert, daring to portray theater critics as bitchy, having lunch at 21 like girlfriends with hats on, out of town previews, old movies using rear projection on a simple scene where actors walk down a city street, getting paid to skip out of town, a theater critic revealing an actress was never a war widow, anytime a movie ends with the cycle beginning anew, promising New York that even though you're leaving to make a movie, your heart will be with them, and finally about 75% of the dialogue is the campiest shit you ever heard. So I'll go 204.
All righty.
Give an average of 204. And finally, this is a new category in the iconic category, Queer 101. How much is this like an essential text to queerdom?
Oh yeah, this is canon. This is canonical. This is I'm gonna surprise you guys. This is a real plot twist here. I'm gonna go 225.
225.
Yeah, there's also even a book, Tell All Backstage, all about Eve, which I highly recommend. 225 as well. I think this is up there.
Yeah.
This is an essential cinematic text.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like for the one-liners alone.
Right.
You know, every...
And just like if you read that book or any of the behind the scenes, like the amount of actresses who almost got the part and like all the like going, like there's just, you could do a movie of the making of this movie, which could be as bitchy and crazy and fun as the movie itself is.
That's so, it's so incredible. Yeah. How different this movie could have been if it was Claudette Colbert as and with, and then there was
Vincent
like,
Price as Addison DeWitt. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah. And there's so many actresses who were going to be Eve. It's just insane. I mean, this alternate reality all about Eve. It'd be really bizarre. Doesn't it seem unfair that Mary Orr doesn't get credited at all? And it was her story.
Yes.
That seems kind of unfair. Why was that the deal? It was probably a money thing. It was probably like, so they'd have to pay her more money or something.
Probably that. Also, apparently Mankiewicz was working on a script about an aging actress. And then whoever it was sent him, oh, there's a story too. And he says, oh, this will fit in perfectly with what I have. So there could have been a case if he was like, I've already been contracted to be the author of this screen. You know what I mean? Like, who knows? And also, it was probably like, she's a woman. And it's a magazine article. You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
Yeah, it is weird that she didn't get credit as like based on some of this material, even though like I don't think she like wrote any, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But then I read that in a radio version, in the radio play version, she got to act in the radio play version, weirdly.
Yeah.
So that's funny. So, okay, so she got in on it. She's
she
like, I'm
going to
make money somehow. I'm going to get a check out of this.
The Blu-ray has a special feature about Mary Orr and like the story that... the real incident that the story is based on.
Right.
Like the real act, but they have like this reporter was investigating like the actual actresses and stuff. And he tracked them both down. He tracked down Mary Orr and the Eve character, like this woman, Marguerite something. He got them both together in this, like the four seasons. And you hear just a recording of these two like senior citizen ladies being so bitchy to each other.
Oh, wow. I really want to hear
really
that.
It's really fun. Mary Orr at one point, like the actress, the Eve figure who's like had resented this whole time. Like I wasn't like Eve, I was different. But she was clearly like she was working for an actress and then got the understudy role. Like it is kind of like based on the thing. But she said, I can't believe you, Mary. Like you're just always thinking about like how to screw me over. Then Mary says, I'd never think of you at all.
Wow.
Shady. All right, I too will give it a 225. I think it's all about Eve. Come on.
Come on.
It's like, if you had to pick one movie from the 50s, it'd be this one.
Yeah, like gayest movie.
I mean, that's the other thing too we haven't really talked about is the Academy Awards that this came out. This is also the Academy Awards of Sunset Boulevard and Born Yesterday. Like, so like the Academy Award nominees were Bette Davis, you know, Anne Baxter, Gloria Swanson. Like it's insane. Wow. Like this year, like how many iconic gay films
that is,
are like from that year, are from this year.
Something was going on in 1950.
They were cranking it. The war was over. Typewriters were tapping.
Yeah. They're tapping, ready to camp it up. Give the gays.
Give the gays what they want. Finally.
They've
been fighting so hard.
Their time. Exactly. For the war.
All right, now we are into the crown jewels.
So these categories we don't rate. We just say yes or no, whether we think it gets this bonus.
Okay, yes.
The first one, a 50% bonus. We have upped that bonus potential. This is a change. A 50% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does All About Eve have a positive portrayal of homosexuality?
That's going to be a big no.
I don't think
it does.
That's
a big no. And if anything... if there is a portrayal, it's a negative one, I would say.
They're like the unhappy people at the end.
Who are just scheming to take down these happy heteros.
Right.
Yeah.
Wrecking every marriage in sight.
When literally, we don't think about heteros at all.
That's right. Living our lives.
We're just living our life. Right. And then finally, so it does not get the bonus. Finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Stonewall.
It's not the movie Stonewall, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
Yes, agreed. Okay. I'm gonna have to, after some careful reflection, I'm gonna have to agree. Right.
Like this movie does have gay rights.
Yeah,
things were thrown.
It's
all right.
So it is all right. That's it. We're done.
So now that we've been through it all, Michael, do you still think All About Eve has got a 99%? Or like, where are your thoughts now about how well you think it's gonna do?
Oh gosh. There were, you know, some categories where it lost some points, you know, in some key areas. I'm not convinced it will necessarily crack the top five now based numerically.
Sure.
Numerically.
Based on numbers.
That's all we're talking about. All we're talking about is how it's going to do numerically.
Yes. And, you
but
know.
But in your heart, it will always be.
In my heart.
It'll always be 99.
I'll put an asterisk.
Thank you. In my heart.
If we need to, who knows? Maybe it got 99.
Maybe it did.
That's true.
Mark, let us know.
I will tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,497.53 points, All About Eve has scored 1,960.87, giving it a percentage of 78.51, making it the 22nd gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born, but gayer than The Fifth Element.
Okay. Even with that singing, even with the alien singer in Fifth Element, which is very gay.
Sure. Of course. Well, that was accounted. Well, Fifth Element has 77.80. Okay. All About Eve has 78.51. And then Star Is Born has 78.59.
So it's right in there.
I think if the lack of any actual homoeroticism is going to happen.
That's where it lost. Oh. Yeah. It lost some major points there. You know, that's what did it in. Yeah.
But I think that's fair.
I think existentially it's a gay in the pantheon of gay movies.
Yes.
But yeah, there were some key areas where
Pence is getting out easy.
Right. He's comfortable. Right, yeah. He's having a good time at the movies.
Queer gays
wasn't particularly on its side.
True.
Right.
The fickle finger of fate rears its ugly head.
Indeed.
Well, that's it, right?
That's it.
We have.
So wonderful. Yep.
Michael.
Such a treat. What a delight.
Thank you. I had a glorious time with you guys.
I love talking about All About Eve with you. Could do it for hours and hours. Is there anything you would like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
Thank you. I would just love to invite everyone to come to my social media platforms, please. You can find me on Instagram at Michael Collins Lucid. You can find me on Twitter at Labyrinth Dancer. And you can find me on YouTube at Pretty Things. That's three S's, which was a terrible idea I came up with in 2005.
And a lot of things made sense in 2005. Yeah.
It was another time.
It was another simpler time.
And I thought having a URL with three S's at the end was a great idea.
Great branding.
It's great branding. You know, and I've been now cursed with the albatross of explaining that every time. For the last 22 years. But yes, Pretty Things three S's on YouTube.
Great.
Easy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You're a real gem, Michael. It's always so nice to speak with you. You can follow us at Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, TWO Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes, so you can email us at Two Old Queens, TWO Old Queens @gmail.com. Let us know what you thought. If you got anything right, do you like the new scoring system? We'd love to hear from you.
We got a Patreon as well. If you want twice the queenage, go to patreon.com/twooldqueens for double the episodes.
Yes, Two Old Queens, the retirement plan. And also we have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself and your loved ones. And a percentage of all the profits goes to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out.
And that's it. Let us know what you think. We'll see you next time, everybody. Stay safe.
Goodbye. Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.